That was good. And now we're going to be back in Genesis. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 3 today. And most of you know what happens in Genesis chapter 3. Up to this point, it's all been good. And things are going to change. It's going to get tough. Yeah, see Dick right down here, he's shaking his head. Yep, it's going to get tough. Here's we go into Genesis chapter 3. You know, we're calling this origins. Remember Genesis, that word comes from Latin. It means origin. We're seeing the origins of things. We've seen creation. The last time we were together, we saw 2 weeks ago, man and woman created. We saw kind of a zoom in on God. He had already made man, and then he made woman and gave her to him as a suitable helper. Today it's going to change. You know, I think of when my wife and I, when we think about movies, my wife likes to watch a love story. And I don't mind watching a love story. I'll enjoy a chick flick every once in a while or something like that. But it's not my favorite. It's not my favorite. You know, my wife enjoys a love story. Well, last time we were together in Genesis, that was kind of the love story angle, right? We saw God give Eve to Adam. First marriage. All God's idea. Well, today, we're going to see something that's a little bit more up my alley in the movie category, and we're going to see, it's going to be a war movie today. So today, it's battle stations. But unfortunately, today, the good guys do not win. What we're going to see in Genesis chapter 3 today is the good guys do not win this one. But there is something for us here. So what I'm going to invite you to do now is to pray, to bring your own heart, to let your heart engage with the Lord through his word. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, we're asking him to be our teacher, to teach us what you have for us to learn from this loss, right? This is an L. This went up in the L column for the good guys. But the Lord, he's got a plan. We'll see that in unfolding weeks. But today, what does the Lord have for us? How does he want us to grow and learn? How can we gain some tactics for spiritual battle? That's what we're going to see today. Will you seek the Lord with me? Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. Lord, as we think about this scripture today, it's hard. Lord, everything we've seen up until these first two chapters has been good and beautiful and sweet, and you and man in perfect fellowship. And today that paradise is going to be lost in Genesis chapter 3. Father, I pray that you would teach us, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray for anybody who's here who's not really leaning in, who's not really engaged. Maybe they're here for who knows what reason. Maybe they just didn't feel like coming out today but came anyway. Lord, we pray that you would help each of our hearts to lean into you. Because what we're seeing here today in the scriptures is really a battle that each of us has against sin and against the evil one. So God, please help us today. Please teach us. Please strengthen our faith. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we get into Genesis 3, we're actually going to pick up this morning in Genesis chapter 2, the very last verse of Genesis chapter 2, because there's something here that we want to see. It's something that we miss in the English text a little bit, but in the original language, there's something here that's a little helpful for us. We're going to pick up in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, the very last verse of Genesis chapter 2. So I've got Genesis 2, verse 25, and Genesis 3, verse 1. These two verses are back-to-back, of course, in your Bible. And so in Genesis 2, verse 25, "And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Now the word in the original language here in Hebrew for naked is arom, arom. And then we read chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field." And the word for crafty is arum, arum. And so the writer here, Moses, he's doing this intentionally. This is a little play on words that the Hebrew reader would get that we in English usually would miss, of course. But what's going on here is he wants us to see something. Right? Adam and Eve were naked, and then the next thing we're told is that they were not ashamed. See, the idea here of their nakedness was that they were innocent. They were innocent. God had made them innocent. There was no sin in the human race yet. So they were naked. They were arom. They were innocent of evil. But there's an enemy. And that enemy still lives today. And that enemy came against Adam and Eve, and he is coming against you and me. And so what we're after today is tactics to withstand his assault. Because he is crafty, arum. He is shrewd, is what the word means. It can be used in a good or a bad context. Here, of course, it's a bad context. So they were naked, but they were not ashamed because they were innocent of evil. But that's going to change. So let's now look at Genesis 3, verse 1 a little bit more. We see, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, which is already a problem, right, that a beastie of the field is speaking. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? So does anybody remember, had God spoken to Adam and Eve about eating from trees in the garden? Remember, God made them, he placed them in this lovely garden, we call it Paradise Eden. Had God said anything to them about what they could eat? He sure had, right? He had spoken to them. And so here we've got the evil one. This is the devil who's speaking through this serpent, this earthly beast. And he says this, he asks this question of Eve. He says, indeed, has God said? So we see the first tactic of the evil one. The devil's tactic, number one, is he questions God's truthfulness. He questions God's truthfulness. Has God said? He doesn't say outright, you can't trust him. He just begins to question. And realize up to this point, Adam and Eve had perfect fellowship with God. Remember, he would walk with them in the cool of the day. There was perfect fellowship, no holds barred. But the evil one shows up, and his first tactic shows he questions God's truthfulness. You know, think of the verse, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar. God is true. He's not like any of us, right? God cannot lie. There's some things God cannot do. He can't do anything against his character. He cannot lie. And he had not lied to Adam and Eve. So there we see the devil's tactic, number one. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 2. So the woman said to the serpent, and again, that's problematic, right? Because those beasties of the field shouldn't be talking. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. So when I think about this, and you see I've underlined for you, the woman said to the serpent, there's a problem here, right? That he's talking to her, and she's now talking back to him. Right? That she's talking to an animal, a beast of the field. Something's wrong here. Something's wrong. So the way I think about this, now she doesn't realize, but she should realize that there's already a problem. Not just because a beast of the field is talking, but because of what he's saying. What's he saying? He's saying, can you really trust God? Right? He's not saying outright, don't trust him. He's saying, is he really truthful to you? And it's at its heart, is he really trustworthy? And so the way I think about what happens right here, when he speaks to her, and then she lets herself be drawn into a conversation that from the outset questions the truthfulness of God. In other words, there's already a problem. From the word go, there's a problem, and Eve doesn't see it. So here's the way I think about this. Don't sit down to tea with the devil. There's no good conversation for you to have with the devil except for Jesus Christ, shut him down. Jesus Christ, protect me from his lies. Jesus Christ, hide me in yourself from him. There's no good conversation for you or me or Eve to be having with the evil one. Remember, he's a deceiver by nature. He hates God. That's his heartbeat. So here we see what we see, a way we should respond. I'm calling this believer's response number one. And you know what? Where's Bob? And it's Bob Draper's tie. We'll call it the Bob Draper's tie verse. All right? We didn't plan this, but that worked out really well. Thanks, bro. Check's in the mail. So Bob Draper's tie verse, right? Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord. So what's the right response? Well, the devil comes calling saying, now, can you really trust God? Here's the right response. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. You can trust him. He will only speak truth to you ever and always. He is trustworthy. He's the most trustworthy being in the universe. Here's the believer's right, healthy response. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. You know what Eve did? Eve leaned on her own understanding. On some level, Eve thought, well, I can have this conversation with this beast of the field who's questioning the faithfulness and the truthfulness of my God. Sure, I can do that. And she went astray. She starts going down a bad road. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And how fitting in this particular context, because what happens is Adam and Eve were on a very straight and narrow path. And what happens here today in these first six verses is they get off the straight and narrow, right? Their path goes awry. Let's move on to Genesis chapter 3, verse 3. All right, so we see she says, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, verse 3, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, okay, well, this is good. She's saying what God has said. That's a good thing to do, right? God has said, you shall not eat from it. Now, is that true? That was true, right? We're going to see this verse in just a minute. She said, that he said, you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will die. Now we got to press in here. So let's look at these verses really quickly. Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. So this is where God had said to Adam, Eve had not been created yet, but God had said this to Adam. So we would hope that Adam had passed this on. Obviously Eve here now speaking with the evil one. She says, well, yeah, God said something, but she doesn't get it quite right. Actually, she's off on two counts, and they're both really important. And there's something here for us. She adds to the prohibition of God. Do you see that? God had said, well, let's look at the verse. The Lord God commanded man, right? He's talking to Adam, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Did he say anything about touching? Now, obviously, it wouldn't be the best thing to touch it. If I'm not even supposed to eat it, I probably shouldn't touch it. But God hadn't said, don't touch it. Eve here actually adds to the prohibition. She doesn't get God right. She doesn't get his words right. She actually adds to the prohibition. She's making what God has said harder than it was. And we can do that too sometimes. It doesn't have to just be legalism, but legalism is certainly the way that I think a lot of folks like us, like folks that are church folk or people that are seeking the Lord, we can fall into the trap of legalism, which is making God's commands more than they are. We take what God has said and we heap things on top of it to our detriment and to the detriment of those around. So first thing she does, she adds to the prohibition, right? She says that he said that I couldn't, that we're not to touch it. Well, he didn't say that. And then secondly, she weakens the punishment. Look what's said here. She says, or you will die. But look what God said in verse 17. Does he say, or you will die? He says, you will surely die. That's different, isn't it? Now, sure, it's the same idea, but she actually takes a little bit of the bite off. Because God said, know this, Adam, and by extension, Eve. Know this, the day that you disobey me, the day that you do this one thing, all of this is yours. The moment that you cross this one line, he didn't say you'll die. He said, you will surely die. That's a little different. Eve missed each of these. She's just a little bit off, but it's a lot. It's a lot. She adds to the prohibition. She weakens the punishment. So here's what I'm calling believer's response 1.1. We're just going to tack this on. Believer's response 1.1. We need to know what God has said. We can't leave this up to, well, I'm kind of God. It's kind of, he said something kind of like this. I'm talking about for you and for me. I'm not talking about Eve anymore, right? Eve's battle is done. This was a few thousand years ago. Her battle is done and over. But I'm talking to living, breathing people, and we are in the battle. And there's an evil one, and he is coming against you and yours. Do you realize that? The devil is real. Now, we don't need to go around, you know, oh, the devil. Like, we've got a Savior. And greater is the one who's in us. If you're in Jesus Christ, greater is the one who indwells you, the Holy Spirit of God, than that evil one. But he is, amen. Thanks, Ed. Amen. But he is real, and he does desire to take your eyes off of Jesus. If you're in Christ, he can't take you away from Christ. What did Jesus say in John 10? No one can snatch you out of my hand. No one can snatch you out of the Father's hand. Right? Jesus made it so clear. If you're in Christ, you are secure in him. But if he can get you to take your eyes off of the raised up Jesus, if he can get you to start believing his lies, he will make you impotent as a believer. Because remember what God wants to do through you. He wants to use you as a light in a dark world to let all the people around you see there's a God who saves sinners and works in our lives and gives us life and peace and joy and hope and self-control. Well, the evil one can't snatch you out of Jesus' hand. But even for us believers, if we buy into his lies, he'll trip us up, sure enough. And we will not lead the fruitful lives that God has for us. And of course, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, he wants to keep you deceived, trusting in yourself, so that you never come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. We've got to know what he has said. Let me tell you. Here, at the base of it, here's what I want to say. Here's what I believe God wants to say to us on this particular score. Get in your Bible. I'm a Southern boy, I can say that. Get in your Bible. You may say to me, but it's hard and it's big. It is. It's a big document. It's a huge document. Just start. I'm serious as hard. You know what? I got saved when I was in college. I've never studied the Bible before. Start. And if you've never been a Bible reader, I'm going to give you two suggestions where you could start. Not both, pick one or the other. You could pick the book of Mark. If you go about three quarters of the way through your Bible into the New Testament, it's the second book of the New Testament. It's the shortest gospel, and there's a lot happening, especially for us guys. It's like an action movie, all right? There's a lot going on in the book of Mark, a lot of movement, and it's all about Jesus the Christ. Or maybe you want to get into the Gospel of John, which is the fourth book of the New Testament. That's my favorite book of the Bible. That's the book I was reading when I understood that I was not a believer, that I was not a Christian, just because I was born in America and went to church. It's also the book of the Bible I was reading where I saw Jesus, the Savior for sinners like me. Yeah, amen to that. If you are not a Bible reader, let me tell you, dive on in. Dig deep. If you need help, please come. My cell phone number is in your directory. I'm serious as a heart attack. John, can they call you? Amen. Any elders here, we would love to talk with you. And nobody's going to condemn you, because we can all struggle sometimes to dig deep. But we've got to know what he has said if we're going to withstand the lies of the evil one. Eve didn't get it right, and it was to her detriment. And she fails. She falls. Let's keep looking here and verse 4. All right, so we've seen what Eve responds on the front end, right? We've seen a good believer's response. We need to know what he said. Now let's go to verse 4. The serpent said to the woman, and here it is. Now it kind of comes out of hiding. The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die." What has he just done? He outright lied. He has openly contradicted the word of God. He has taken what God had said and word for word flipped it on its head. But remember, that's not how he started, was it? Remember how he started? Just asking a question. But the question itself impugned God's character. Now it's an outright lie. You sure enough will not die. No, that's a lie. So now we see the devil's tactic number two, contradicting God's truth. Outright contradicting God's truth. But remember, this isn't where he started. And this is probably not where he's going to start with you and me. I've never known a single person who has struggled with addiction to alcohol or another drug, who on the front end, the first time they tried that alcohol or other drug, I've never known a single person who had the thought in that moment, the first time they tried something, that they were going to end up addicted, stuck, struggling, hating the choices they were making. Never once. But I've met lots of people. I've walked alongside a lot of people who see something that looks shiny and they grab a hold of it and it ends up being a hook in their mouth. The devil starts with little things that appeal to us. But eventually what he wants to do is utterly contradict God's truth in your heart and mind. That's what he's after. He wants to shut down your faith. He wants to shut down your life and your peace and your joy and your hope and your strength in Christ. So we see the devil's tactic number two, contradicting God's truth. Let's look at John 8, verse 44. This is Jesus talking about the evil one. Now he's talking to some Jews at this point, and he's talking about the evil one. He says, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. He's talking about the devil, the same one here that's coming against Eve. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. That's why you never have a tea party with the devil. That's why you never say, well, I can exchange a few pleasantries. No, because his nature is to deceive you. Anytime he speaks, Jesus said this, anytime he speaks a lie. Now, it may be a big whopper, or it may be just a little taint of the truth, but there's always a lie in there somewhere. That's how he works. That's one of his main tactics. So for us here, he goes on, he says, whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So believer's response number two, how can we respond? What's a right response? Something we can learn. 1 John 2:14. John writes here, he says, I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. So we need to get in the word, right? We need to get in our Bibles, and then we need the word of God to abide in us. Remember that word abide? We don't use that word abide too much anymore in just regular conversation, but it is a good word. Abide has this durative idea, right? An over time, a persevering, an enduring, a hanging tough. Right? The word of God abiding in me means I'm daily massaging the word of God into my life, into my heart and my mind. Because the purpose of that is not that I get puffed up with knowledge. The purpose of that is that it comes out in how I live and how I think and how I speak and what I do and where I go. And that's exactly what John is saying to these young men and really to all of us. He says, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And look at what he says next. And you have overcome the evil one. You see a connection here? I see a connection here. The word of God is abiding in them. And lo and behold, they've overcome the evil one. Eve did not overcome the evil one here. The word of God was not abiding in her. She wasn't quick and sure to run to the truth of God's word. And it cost her dearly. The truth is, it's cost all of us dearly. Let's go to verse 5. He says, for God knows that in the day. So now we've got the evil one. He's just said, you surely will not die. And then he goes on, for God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Here we see another tactic of the evil one. He denies God's goodness. He denies God's goodness. Let's unfold this a little bit. First of all, the devil here speaks with the mouth of a cynic. You know what a cynic is, right? A cynic, especially spiritually speaking, a cynic is someone who kind of in their heart, now they may not play it out so big, like on a big screen for you to see, not initially, but here's what goes on in the heart and the mind of a cynic. And we can all struggle with cynicism. But here's what happens in the heart and the mind of a cynic. A cynic sees something good or of God or convicting. And a cynic in his or her heart is tempted to say something like this. I know how it really works. And you can't trust God. I know how it really works. I've got insider information. Don't preach to me all that stuff about Jesus is good and Jesus loves you right where you are. That's the heart of a cynic. And the point of a cynic, spiritually speaking, the point of a cynic is it's the opposite of faith in God. A cynic says, I really know how all this works. I've really got it all figured out. And you can't really trust God here. I mean, we can go to church and we can talk, you know, Christian platitudes all day long, but we can't really trust God when it counts. When the rubber meets the road, I'm on my own and I've got it figured out. And don't try to tell me different. That's the voice that the evil one speaks with here to Eve. He says, no, you can't really trust God because he's holding out on you, right? Here's a believer's good response, number three, Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. See, this is a heart of faith. Thank God. See how good he is. Give him thanks, for he is good, for his loving kindness, right? That's the grace of God. For his loving kindness, that's his mercy. That's his overcoming love. That's his love that was displayed on a cross. This isn't like just warm, fuzzy love that doesn't cost anything, just the opposite. This is love that costs God everything. It's the love that kept Jesus on the cross. That's what we're talking about. This is no namby-pamby. This is a gutsy love. This is a hard love. This is the love that will not let you go. Praise God. His loving kindness endures forever. We need to combat the voice of the cynic in our own minds and hearts, whether it's the evil one trying to speak in there or it's just us on our own. You see, the idea here is that what the devil's trying to say is that God is holding out on you, Eve. Look at what he says. He says things like, God knows something. Well, of course God. God knows everything, but not what you're saying he knows. God knows that he's got good in store for you, Eve. That's the truth. But look what the devil says. God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened as if God had something to hide. There was something God was trying to keep Eve from. That's true. He was trying to keep her from evil. He was trying to keep her from evil. He only had good for them. But realize, God had made Adam and Eve innocent. He made them innocent, but they are free moral beings, just like you and me. So just like he made them innocent, but they chose to sin, you and I were not conceived innocent. We were conceived, right? This isn't speaking about our mother or father evil on their part. Just, we're children of Adam. We've inherited a sinful nature. And if that weren't enough, each of us, well, I'll just speak for me. I have chosen sin all on my own. I was born in sin. I've also chosen sin. Well, I will speak for you like everybody else. Right? The only person that's ever walked the planet that didn't have a sinful human nature is Jesus the Christ. What God really had in store for them was good all the time. Hey, folks, God is good. All the time. Take that to the bank. But Eve let herself be trapped. She bought a lie. Let's finish it up. Chapter 3, verse 6. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband, and he ate. Paradise lost. There it is. Paradise lost. And in that moment, every death, grief, loss, and misery entered into all of creation. What happens here in Genesis 3 has bled into where we are even up to today. Genesis 3 changed the course of all of human nature at that time. But you know what? Something else has happened since then that split time in two, and that's Jesus the Christ has come down. And so you don't have to be stuck in your sin. So I want to talk to two groups of people here really quickly this morning. First, I want to talk to people who are not followers of Jesus Christ. And nobody's going to ask you to like put your hand up if you're not right. If you're not resting in what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you, if you're not actively leaning in, following Jesus as your one and only Savior, right? The one who has done for you what you could not do for yourself. If that's where you are, if you're not trusting Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished, you need to remember that you have a very powerful enemy. The same enemy that came against innocent Eve is coming against you, and he desires your destruction. He desires your eternal separation from God. And he's got a plan. This one who is coming against you, this powerful enemy, he is so rowdy that he openly challenges God. We see it in the scriptures, Old and New Testaments. He openly challenges God. This is a powerful enemy. But he's not more powerful than our God. This enemy that you have, those of you not following Jesus, he wants to keep you stuck in your sin. He wants to keep you stuck under the penalty of your sin. But you don't have to stay there. You do not have to stay there. We sang this song, right? I'm not going to sing it. For me, he died. For me, he lives. Do you notice that the died part, that's past tense. He was dead. He's not dead anymore. And the lives, for me, he lives, that's present tense. You know why? Because he was alive 2,000 years ago when he came out of that grave, and he's alive today. And he offers you life. He offers abundant life. In other words, you don't have to stay stuck. He offers you hope. He offers you eternal life. But it's only found in Jesus Christ. There's no other way, because nobody else paid for your sin. So if you're here, if you're watching online, if you're not trusting Jesus Christ, oh, turn to him. Cry out. Here's the crazy reality. God is holy, and even though we are sinful and he is holy, he himself has made the way through his son Jesus Christ, who took your sin on himself. If you will turn to Jesus Christ, if you'll turn away from your sin and turn toward Christ in faith, he will save you. Most important thing you could ever do. Hey, I want to talk to believers really quickly. Those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, are you struggling to take God at his word? I do sometimes. There, the pastor said it, so you can just relax. I struggle to take him at his word sometimes. God, could you really be that good? God, I just failed again. I'm really not condemned. You've really taken that all away? I can really just rest in you. I don't have to sit here and kind of whip myself. I can just trust your forgiveness, that it's total and free in Jesus Christ, and I can just get up and you can just dust me off and I can just follow you? Yes. Yes. Believer, you don't have to stay stuck. Yes. That's the good news of the gospel for us believers. The gospel wasn't just good news the moment you received Jesus way back when, brothers and sisters. It's good news here, now, today, for you and for me. The blessing of Jesus Christ, a living Savior. Hey, believer, are you tempted by the allure of cynicism? I am sometimes. Are you tempted to kind of have that heart. Well, I've got this figured out, and I can't really trust God here. No, you're asking me to trust you too much, God. And sometimes the reality of the cynic is that I simply love my sin too much. And so I find a place to hide. And I say, well, I've got this figured out. I'm not going to go to God with that. Believer, there's nothing you can't go to God with. He loves you more than you can know. Are you struggling today to believe that God is as good as he says he is and that he has good for you, better than you could come up with for yourself? Because that's the way the Bible reads. That's what he says. I got a few more verses for us quickly as we close it out. John chapter 8. I'm guessing that as we've been walking through the sermon, these verses have come to some of you. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, there's that abide idea. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know what? This works for believer or unbeliever. Follow Jesus close. Give him your heart and trust all that you are to him. And he'll give you the truth, and the truth will set you free. In John 8:36, so if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Hey, does that sound good to you? It sounds good to me. Amen. He says, you'll be free. You'll be free indeed. And that is what I want. That is what I need. And I mean every day, brothers and sisters. You say, but you know, Mike, you're a pastor. Yes, and I need this kind of freedom every day. I'm just a regular guy like you. I really am. I follow Jesus close. I want to lean in hard. And he has set me free. Praise God. That's the business that he's in. Last verse of the morning. 1 John 5:11-13. And the testimony is this. That God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. If you want life, it's in Jesus. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we come to you because we need you so desperately. Lord, the truth is we're no better than Eve. Lord, we struggle in many ways. Lord, we struggle to trust you. We struggle to be in the Word. We struggle to believe what you say. Oh, God, help us. Lord, I pray that you, through your word and by your Holy Spirit's conviction, I pray that you would call unbelievers, those who are not following Jesus by faith yet, I pray that you would call them to turn away from their sin and rest on, cry out to, throw themselves on the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray no less for those of us who are already in Christ. Lord, let us take you at your word. Save us from the sin of cynicism. Oh, Lord, let us believe you. Let us know your truth. Lord, set us free. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.